This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Peter Liu, and you're listening to Enterprise. Coming home to Sarawak from Brunei every year as I was growing up, I was always intrigued by Sarawak handicrafts such as bamboo coin boxes to rattan floor mats, and they do seem harder to come by in the latter years. Aiming to change that is Tanoti, led by Jacqueline Fong, which is a congregation of Sarawakian weavers and artisans dedicated towards the production, promotion, and proliferation of handcrafted fabrics. Good to be seeing and speaking to you again, Jacqueline. Before we continue with the story, right, is there any significance to the name Tanoti?
Ah, fantastic to be seeing you, Frida, and glad you're nice and healthy. Tanoti actually is a Sanskrit word for weave or entwine. When we started this business in 2012, we wanted to pay homage to the people in India who actually brought that brocade, beautiful brocade of gold fabric, to the Malay archipelago. And Tanoti is a Sanskrit word to remember the history of Songket.
Right. And then, you know, as a Sarawakian, I didn't know that there was Sarawakian Songket. And how is that different?
Well, Sarawak Songket does exist. And Sarawak Songket is actually the technique of weaving Songket. Songket is supplementary weft, where you have a plain weave and then you will have a different thread introduced into your weaving to create the patterns. So in Sarawak, the weaving of Sarawak Songket requires a technique called hitung sifir, or counting of threads, as opposed to what weaving is in the peninsula, where menyongket is menggunakan tekat, which is a fixed sequence of threads. So what I like to think of our Sarawakian weavers is that they are all mathematicians. They all have to menghafal sifir, so to speak.
Okay, so you've been in business now for, you know, 2012, so nearly 10 years, right? And, you know, would you say that, you know, the last 2 years have been the most challenging of them all?
The last 2 years was definitely an adventure, for sure.
I like your perspective on it, adventure. Now, you know, you have also branched out into other things as well, right? You have Tanoti Tours and Tanoti Foods, right? Why have you done that?
We believe that income can be earned by our artisans, not only from their product, but also from their product service. So the fact that they are making this product, and visually it's amazing, the experience is incredible. We would like to share that in the form of tours. The food came up because it was a COVID response activity.
Right.
Because of COVID, a lot of people lost their jobs, and it was obviously a tragic state of affairs. And we were approached by people who in the tourism sector, you know, tour guides, who came to me and asked if I would like to invest in a gula apong business, because their kampong had a lot of nipah palm, which was at that time underutilized or unharvested. So I thought, okay, you know, the investment is not so much. Why don't we do this? And that was around August or September last year. And 9 months on, we have, a gula apong business as well as other food products of our communities under the umbrella of Tanoti Foods.
All right. Okay, I want to go into Tanoti Foods a little more later. You know, one of the things is that I guess, you know, historically you're working more closely with the Penans, right? Any reason why this particular community?
I think it came about because I was very interested in hiking and you know, in my going into the Swapa, you call it, the jungle, I found that I was happily interacting with a lot of community people. And I think craft of our most remote communities was also very, very of high value, you know, the fact that they can access the best quality rattan, the fact that they all can do menganyam or plating. We thought that, you know, it's only natural that we bring their product to the world. And the Penans are happy to allow me to integrate or co-mingle with them. And I'm also very happy to help them with their lives and elevate their livelihoods through their craft.
Right. Did it take a lot for them to trust you?
I hope so. I hope they trust me.
Right.
It, you know, it's not the fact that, you know, they should only trust us. It has to be a, you know, a mutually sustainable right. relationship. How we went into the Penan communities actually is a main factor. The first Penan community we went with was Long Lamai. And we actually worked with UNIMAS, who had been working with the communities for many, many years. The second area of work that we were at was actually introduced to us by WWF. So we had a collaboration agreement with WWF that lasted 2 years. And we worked with the 18 Penan villages there and hence have expanded post our collaboration with WWF.
Right. And were they already doing a handicraft prior to this, right? And or was this something new, or were they paid unfairly before, or not knowing what to charge?
The communities that we worked with were really remote. And yes, they were doing handicrafts, but only amongst themselves and for themselves, you know, for their own shelter, for their own, you know, purposes for hunting and foraging. Very little commerce happened in those communities which we worked. And obviously, the baseline is very low, right? By us going into there, we effectively created a micro economy by infusing cash into their economies or into their communities.
Okay. You're also working towards rebuilding Long Balau, right? What happened there?
Long Balau is a Penan village. They occupied that piece of land, you know, when the communities started to settle around 30 years ago, in the 80s, 85 to 1990, they settled in this area called Long Balau. It's a beautiful area, you know, it's in the intersection of two rivers. And they built a beautiful longhouse there. I think it's about 20 rooms. And what was very unique in Long Balau is that there are amazing artisans in Long Balau, one of which has won a Living Legend Award. We were very sad to hear in early November last year that the longhouse was razed to the ground. And for such a beautiful community of people, this was devastating. The fire was caused by a couple who were visiting, and they had kept their kerosene lamp on, and right. I believe it was kicked, and basically the fire had spilled over and consumed the house, you know, within the hour.
Right.
It happened at midnight or close to midnight, and it was a miracle that all of the residents of that longhouse survived. You know, it was a huge stampede we heard, going into the river and waiting in the river until the fire had died.
Because as you know, I think like there is no bomba arriving there, seeing that it's so, you know, so much in the interior, right? You know, okay, when you talk about the products as well, right, what are the challenges in getting the products out? Because we don't exactly have the best transportation infrastructure in Sarawak.
Well, I think the biggest challenge is telecommunication. If we were to able to convey orders, convey designs, and then have them produce and communicate right. to us that they are producing, monitor production, it would have been so much easier to do our jobs.
Right.
We feel that telecommunication infrastructure is critical, and we have very high hopes in our government and government stakeholders that, you know, telecommunication will be up and running in all these communities very soon. We hope so. Fingers crossed. We can't see them, but they are. And road network is also a big issue. you know, it's nothing short of an adventure going into the villages. And everything is weather depending, you know. If it's raining, you know, you will be expecting landslides. It's quite scary if you're not prepared for it mentally. But hopefully that will also change.
And we're talking about continuing the trade in the next generation, and if that will continue, I'm here with Jackin Fong from Tanoti. Stay tuned. You're listening to Enterprise BFF 89.9.
Build fortunes modestly. BFM 89.9.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Enterprise. I'm here with Jackin Fong out in Sarawak, and she's from Tanoti. The tagline, weaving great lives one thread at a time, something that's established in 2012. You know, working with all the different artisans and all that, right? Have you seen the next generation expressing interest in continuing the trade? Maybe now they know they're able to earn more, and I guess, are there teachers to train them?
A lot of the work that we do pass down from generation to generation, and this is the generation of change, you know, and this is a generation of perhaps instant gratification. You see a lot of people having more options now, you know, where they can study, what work they can do, how they can access income through the internet or elsewhere. And Tanoti's challenge then is to make sure that this point of inflection continues with an uptrend or an upsurge, right? We would like to make it our focus to have a vibrant ecosystem around craft so that young people will see the benefits of it and choose craft or even foods or artisanal foods as a career option for them, you know, as a ways of making good income and contribute to the society that they're in.
Right. You know, one of the things as well, you know, trying to market your products, right? You are introducing interesting elements to our traditional craft, right? What have you, you know, when I guess somebody goes to the Tanoti website, what can they find there?
What they can find is all the things that we have been doing and all the things that we have been experimenting with. So if they were to want to buy something out of Tanoti, we have an e-commerce shop. Is shop.tanotecrafts.com, and we have an array of our crafts as well as foods. We are constantly adding to our shop, but I'd like to make mention to the fact that, and also thank you to COVID, we have been doing a lot of new products, you know, new techniques. Our latest addition is our leather songket. So during MCO, we experimented with different types of fibers, and we found that leather is very interesting as a material which we can weave into fashion apparels. So our latest addition are our leather weaves. We have also featured our leather weaves in International Digital Fashion Weeks.
Right.
From New York, and also Aspara Fashion Week in Uzbekistan. We are always featuring our rattan products. Our rattan tote bags are highly popular, and document bags. We believe that rattan is a fiber that is highly durable and also very aesthetic. So we invite everyone to come and visit our e-shop and visit every couple of weeks, because we add products in all the time.
Right. And have you been getting a lot of a global interest or even out here in West Malaysia?
Yes, we have. We are retailing in West Malaysia. We are also we're also receiving a lot of our orders from West Malaysia, including yourself. Thank you very much, Frida. Didn't really expect, and what a surprise that we received an order from you.
Right, because it's been a while since I went to Tanoti. I was like, wow, you have other things right now, you know, apart from the songket, right? And things that I will need in my house, right? So they're right in front of me, right? So, okay, I want to talk a little bit about Tanoti foods, right? So it started with the nipah palm, which we Sarawak is blessed to have a lot of. And, you know, how's that, you know, I guess you help with the packaging and all that. And what else have you introduced in terms of Tanoti foods?
Actually, what we want to do with Tanoti is take an indigenous product or produce and make it modern and interesting. So we start with the nipah, right? The nipah palm produces gula apong, and you will see gula apong being sold along Gambia Street or India Street, and they sell them in plastic packets. What we do or try to do is that we will reimagine it for modern applications, for people like you or people who bake, or, you know, people who have coffee and tea. So we granulate it, you know. There's an additional process that we make, that we carry out. We granulate it so that it has new applications. And then we make it into syrup so that it has another new application.
Right.
That's what we would like to see happen. We take another item such as the limau kasturi, the calamansi, right? We turn it into concentrate so that you can enjoy it even though it's not in season. You can enjoy it also in cocktails, you know. You can have a nice daiquiri or martini, right?
Okay, so please send me the recipes on its versatility. Cocktail recipes, to be specific. Now, you've been working with Magic for a couple of years now, right? How have they supported you in this journey?
Magic is critical, actually, or was critical to our growth, and hopefully will become a partner of Tanoti's for a long time to come. They support our vision and they understand our values and principles, and they help us in funding our dreams, you know, our dreams of social impact. We have been a partner of Magic since 2015, when we won the Magic Amplify Award. And then recently in 2019, you know, we were part of a program of 30 social entrepreneurs stuck in a room, you know, for 6 weeks, you know, on a huddle, I guess, where we went through a very key business coaching. And I think as after COVID, there was a push initiative where if we wanted to expand, they would give us a matching grant. And most recently, there's a procurement initiative by Magic, which we would like to be a part of. So Magic is actually a very good agency, I guess, to help grow organizations intending to pursue social impact.
And, you know, what have you learned about yourself as an entrepreneur, you know, in the last couple of years, having started Tanoti? And, of course, you had the Batik Butik Hotel, which I heard had. What have you learned about yourself?
I think what is important as an entrepreneur is that, you know, you are there to do something. And what I intend to achieve as an entrepreneur is my activism, you know. How much we can activate the community, how much we can activate the people around us, our network, how much we are able to make a difference in lives. I think that's very important. And it should be the measure of our success in our efforts, in our entrepreneurship efforts. I think what fulfills me is the fact that we have made a difference. And now, you know, we leave the world hopefully in a better place.
You know, we can only look forward. So I guess what else do you have in the pipeline?
What we have in the pipeline is big dreams. But what we're doing now but what we're doing now is that we're submitting a bid for Kuching to be admitted under the UCCN City of Gastronomy. So to be admitted into the UNESCO Creative Council Network is very big for us, because, you know, we have so many players in the food chain. You know, all the verticals of food and beverage are important to us in Sarawak, you know,
right,
from the smallholders to the foragers, to the farmers, to fishermen.
The belacan makers.
The belacan makers. Thank you for buying our belacan. So, you know, the impact of our membership into UCCN would be very evident to all the people in this vertical. You know, the restaurateurs, hawkers, you know, that's taken. But, you know, the producers, the manufacturers, you know, it's also a win for them.
And I hope this comes true, right? You know, one for Kuching, one for Sarawak, right? And I guess one for the nation as well. Thanks for spending time with me this morning. And of course, you know, do check out tanoti.com. Well, Tanoti anyway, just do a search. Life is so easy now, T-A-N-O-T-I. And support, you know, local business. And support Sarawakians, I have to say. I've been speaking to Jacqueline Fong from Tanoti. You've been listening to Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.